Lord, we thank you for your word, which teaches us and trains us, guides us and inspires us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Before I share with you briefly some thoughts, I'll read you from the Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 4, Jesus calls fishermen and he teaches and preaches and he heals. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, catching fish in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me and I will teach you to catch people." At once they left their nets and went with him. He went on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, getting their nets ready. Jesus called them, and at once they left the boat and their father and went with him. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news about the kingdom, and healing people who had all kinds of disease and sickness. The news about him spread through the whole country of Syria, so that people brought to him all those who were sick, suffering from all kinds of diseases and disorders, people with demons and epileptics and paralytics, and Jesus healed them all. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the 10 towns, from Jerusalem, Judea, and the land on the other side of the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. So then, in this reading from Matthew's Gospel, in the first part of the reading, we heard how Jesus called his first disciples. There was Simon, whom he later called Peter, his brother Andrew, and after them, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. It all seems to happen suddenly. However, certainly Peter and Andrew had previously recognized Jesus as possibly their Messiah. And we do read in John's Gospel, Andrew had heard John the Baptist speak and followed him. And he found his brother Simon Peter, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. So Andrew had been a follower of John the Baptist, but that takes nothing away from the remarkable way in which these men responded to Jesus' call. They heard and they recognized the word of God addressed directly to them personally, and they responded wholeheartedly. The one thing that they had in common in their personalities was that they were willing to follow Jesus anywhere and at any cost, whatever that might mean. So what about you? And what about me? I don't know what they thought Jesus was actually calling them to do, and I wonder what kind of a Messiah they thought Jesus might be, even if they entertained such thoughts in any depth about their Jewish Messiah. But he was revealed in their scriptures, which means it's very likely that they did have longings for the Messiah to come. But what would they have made of Jesus' promise to them? Come with me, and I will teach you to catch men. Or as other New Testament translations have it, come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. To these ordinary working fishermen, who were rather rough and ready types of folk, who were not particularly well educated, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Now we may hear God's call and recognize God's claim on our lives, and we may respond joyfully. But what do we make of God's promise? Come with me, and I will teach you to catch men. What was Jesus going to show these fishermen and teach these first disciples in order to make them fishers of men? Well, among very much more things, among much else, he was going to show them and teach them about commitment, about what it means to be a true disciple. Commitment. For Jesus himself walked the path of humble obedience to his Father's will, even unto death, and death on the cross. And do you remember when Peter said to Jesus, much later on, of course, we have left everything and followed you? If they stuck it out with Jesus, they were going to learn both the joy of commitment, but also the cost of commitment in following him. So what about you? And what about me? What does it mean to be committed to someone or to a cause? Well, in general, I don't think most of us think seriously about commitment nowadays, particularly today, unless it's commitment to ourselves. But if you are truly committed, you are bound for life. You have all your emotional and intellectual investment involved in what you are committed to. You are bound up in what you are committed to, or to whom you are committed. You make sacrifices, both of time and money, when you are truly committed. It means going on and on. It involves perseverance, becoming increasingly involved with someone or something, becoming more knowledgeable about the person or the cause to which you are committed. And being committed to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, this dedication is what being a Christian is all about, as I hope we all know. St. Paul viewed his commitment to the Christian life to be like a dedicated athlete competing in a race. He said, surely you know that many runners take part in a race, but only one of them wins the prize. Run then, in such a way as to win the prize. Every athlete in training submits to a strict discipline in order to be crowned with a wreath that will not last. But we do it for one that will last forever. A spirit of sacrifice and self-denial is involved in our commitment to Jesus Christ. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And this is very beneficial for us, for if we do it, we are released from chains that bind us to earthly and fleshly worldly forms of living, which are forms of idolatry. But if Jesus sets us free, then we are free indeed. Jesus makes us fit for his use, so that in fulfilling our calling, in serving him, we will in some way be appointed and anointed to be fishers of men. We begin to understand something of the love of the Father heart of God for us and for everyone. St. Paul said, the love of Christ controls us. So if the love of the Lord Jesus Christ controls us, we will be used by God to bring others to him. Paul again says, I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to witness to the good news of the grace of God. Now, Paul could say that because he had an assurance of eternal life. He now regarded heaven as his home. And as someone has said, commitment to Jesus Christ always involves a radical change of citizenship. So as committed Christians, we learn in time to think of heaven as home, and it is to bring others to God's heavenly home that as disciples we choose, and it is a choice, to allow our Lord Jesus Christ to make us and teach us to be fishers of men. And with his message of reconciliation, the good news and the gospel, which has been entrusted to us, as Paul reminds us, and with his message, this message of reconciliation, we are to do what we are meant to do, fulfill our Lord's great commission. And by our worship, by our prayers, and by our witness, we are to maintain our vision. Our vision is to grow believers, make believers, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to the glory of God the Father. Amen.